The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
In the time since I made my cliff prediction about Tom Brady, just in the time since then, Tom Brady has had a full Hall of Fame career. Like, if that's the only thing a guy ever did and retired after 5 years, he's in the Hall of Fame. First ballot, as far as I'm concerned. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tom Brady stacked the deck in his favor. That is true. He left Belichick high and dry, nothing in the cupboard. Cupboard bare. Garoppolo out of town. And then with COVID, the defense had guys not playing. Hightower before the season starts. Chung before the season starts. Lost Gilmore for parts of the season. Couldn't practice. New quarterback. The whole thing. Belichick went 7-9. Did a pretty good coaching job. Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl. 1-0 Tom Brady so far. But it's much more than that. This game against Aaron Rodgers, the Bucks versus the Packers, Tom Brady gets to a new city, new team, during COVID, no preseason. Can't practice. Facilities around the league shut down, like really an interruption. In how do you even get to know your new teammates? And takes them to the Super Bowl? Year one? Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowl championships with the Niners, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was perfect in the Super Bowl. But now it's Bill Walsh, it's Jerry Rice. And he took the Kansas City Chiefs to the AFC Championship game. No, it's Joe Montana. However much he benefited from that system, they benefited from him. Tom Brady just did him one better. He's in his 10th Super Bowl. He takes another team year one. I don't care how stacked, how loaded they are. Lots of loaded teams. His is in the Super Bowl. And he did it on the road against Drew Brees, who led a team who'd beaten him twice in the regular season. It was a tie game in the fourth quarter, and I tweeted out at the time, okay, Drew Brees, he's been to 9, you've been to 1. Your team beat him twice in the regular season, here it is, money time. Money's on the line right now. You know one thing, Brady ain't going to mess it up. Fourth quarter, he ain't going to mess it up. Drew Brees, what are you going to do? And I didn't know. These scripts are not written ahead of time. These guys write their own scripts. Brees couldn't do it, and Brady's team beat Brees' team on the road. Well, Tom Brady didn't have to face any great quarterbacks in the AFC East all those years. Yeah, how's Drew Brees? And that loaded Saints team beats him with the money on the line after losing to him twice in the regular season. And now Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field. The frozen tundra. At Lambeau Field. End of the first half. Well, before I even get there, I'm going to get to Rodgers. I'm going to get to LaFleur. Who's to blame? All that stuff. Got to get to Mahomes. But I want to stay on Brady for a second. 10 Super Bowls? 10? He has a chance to win 7? Even if he goes 6 out of 10, it's incredible. And by the way, I really, it's not like Stephen A. will make fun of it on First Take. Whoops, are you going to say whoops? I like being wrong. Of course, your ego likes being right, but when you are wrong about something you're certain about, you're fairly certain about, you learn something new. The world can still surprise you. I'm 47 years old. The devastating intellect. Let me go over it a little bit. Truly profound intellect. No, I'm serious. I'm 47 years old, and I've seen a lot of stuff, and I was pretty sure that it was Belichick more than Brady. Brady would have been great wherever he went, an all-time great. But the GOAT? Well, he was never the best. Aaron Rodgers was the best, right? He just had a better situation. Uh-huh. No, Brady was the best all along, it turns out. He was the best. If you have the requisite arm strength, the number one attribute as a quarterback is decision-making. Brady makes better decisions faster than everyone else. That's why he's the GOAT. That and leadership qualities. His team believes they can win. Always. Brady's team always believes they can win. Because when they look at their guy under center, they think that's the best player on the field. Tom Brady, on the risk he took coming to Tampa.
Well, this is the ultimate team sport. And, we've had a lot of people work really hard over a course of a period of time to get to this point. So, it's a tough journey to get here. So to go on the road and win a, you know, another road playoff game is a, just a great achievement. And, you know, now home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing.
Tom Brady turned the ball over three times, but not with the money on the line. With the money on the line, he didn't do it. That was Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Meantime, let me give some more straight talk. A lot of people blaming Matt LaFleur today for the Packers' loss. He chose to kick a field goal down 8. How much was he down at the end of the game? He needed to score a touchdown. Kicks a field goal. He, on fourth down from the 8-yard line, he opted, as I think it was Alan Hahn today, a friend of mine said he was listening to Bart and Hahn and on ESPN radio today, and I think it was Hahn who said, is that the worst coaching decision in the history of sports? You take the ball out of the best player in the world's hands, right? Aaron Rodgers is about to win the MVP with the game on the line, and you hand it to the greatest player of all time to beat you. That's something. So it's LaFleur's fault, right? Well, it was a blunder. There's no question about it. It was a blunder. Although I'd like to say that they did stop the Bucs on third down, and it was a PI call that gave the Bucs the ball back. And by the way, if you're going to call a ticky-tack PI call, you know, PI down the field, where it may not have been a catchable ball even without the PI, right? So while you're calling it, then you have to call the holding on Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs held. His man had him beat. I don't know, Jeff Schwartz on Twitter, former Giants offensive lineman, Mitch Schwartz's brother, a stud lineman today. But Jeff Schwartz is like, no, that's in the rule book. Like, if a guy gets underneath you, you could, but that's not what happened. If you watch the whole play from beginning to end, it was textbook holding. His man beats him. Wirfs' man beat him, the right tackle, beat him. Wirfs hooked him and rode him the whole time because he was beaten. Every part of his body was beaten, so he hooked him. And rode, I mean, like, it was hold. And I'm not saying, well, that's the reason. See, Tom Brady got lucky. Luck is the residue of design. Tom Brady seems to get lucky a lot. No, I'm saying if you're going to call the ticky-tack PI down the field, you should also call the holding. Like, you shouldn't have one without the other. And that's not the reason they lost. It was not Matt LaFleur, and it was not a lack of a call here or a call there. It was Aaron Rodgers who choked. Let me go back to the pivotal moment of the game. And Rodgers, by the way, I take no pleasure in it. One of my all-time favorite players. And I always said he was better than Brady, just not as accomplished. No. With the money on the line and a chance to really enhance his legacy, it was a huge legacy game. How would Brady do without Belichick? Go to the Super Bowl. How about Rodgers when he has a chance to win at home against Brady? Didn't get it done. End of the first half. Series of plays. In the red zone. Three consecutive passes to Devontae Adams. They could not link up. Now, people said, oh, it was a perfect back shoulder. No, not exactly. It was a catchable ball that Devontae Adams did not catch on the first throw. On the second throw, someone blows a route or something. I don't know. Rodgers gets his pass batted down. And on the third throw, Adams can't tap his feet in the back of the end zone. They weren't perfectly thrown balls. They were catchable balls, but they didn't get it done. And then what happens? They have to settle for a field goal, right? And which later on means now they leave 4 points on the field. Now they have to go for the 2-point conversion, which they don't convert. It's a 5-point swing altogether. What'd they lose by? 5. Meantime, Tom Brady, after that series, goes right down the field, throws a bomb for a touchdown. I tweeted out at the time. That's the game. You know, if it comes down to that, Rodgers is in trouble. Got to make that up in the second half. Now, Rodgers had a great second half. However, down in the red zone again, he has daylight on third down. And later he says, well, I didn't know I was only working with, I thought I was going to be working with 4 downs. Rodgers had daylight on third down. He could have run it in, I think, for an easy score. However, if you want to argue, no, he would have, someone had the angle and they could have got, okay, let's say worst case scenario, he stopped at the 1. You think LaFleur doesn't go for it on the 1-yard line, 4th and 1? 4th and 1, he's going to go for it. He didn't go for it on fourth and eight. And maybe that's partly because Rodgers hadn't inspired confidence from that distance at the end of the first half. Yeah, did LaFleur blunder? No doubt. And as Hahn and Barton Hahn were talking about, maybe that's the worst coaching decision of all time. Take the ball out of the best player in the world's hands to help you win. He's on your team. And instead, give it to the greatest player of all time to beat you. That's a pretty bad coaching decision. But it's not what cost them the game. Do you know Rodgers would have converted fourth and eight? I don't know. I don't even know if it's 50-50. I suspect it's not based on what I saw that game. I know this, when Brady had to do it, Rodgers was better than Brady all game until it mattered most. And then in the highest leverage situations, Brady was better than Rodgers. Better, not greater than Rodgers, better than Rodgers when it mattered most. Matt LaFleur trying to explain himself on that fourth and eight decision to kick a field goal down eight.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2-minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end. But, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out.
Hear that? Hear what he said? You listen closely? He said, getting no yards. Aaron Rodgers runs, he gets yards. Aaron Rodgers' decision-making in the ultimate moments of that game, at the end of the first half and the end of the game, were lacking. His decision-making was lacking. That's why they lost. Forget about LaFleur. And by the way, why do they have to? Did they need the 2-point conversion? Because Rodgers on three consecutive plays and Devontae Adams, Rodgers and Adams could not connect. There's 4 points, and then you have to try for the 2-point conversion because you left those points on the field, and you come away with none. There's your 5 points because you don't get the point after the touchdown. They lost by 5. It was the plays, it was the series at the end of the first half, and then Brady, what's his name, that speedster gets behind the defense. I like how, because he's a little white dude, everyone talks about, it's like another Julian Edelman. No, actually, this dude is like, this is your deep threat. He's super fast. But the point is, Brady, yeah, he shouldn't have gotten behind the defense, of course not. However, Brady linked up with him, pretty bald, wasn't it? And then coach says at the end of the game, why did he kick the field goal? Which was a blunder. I'm not arguing it was arguably the worst coaching decision ever. I get it. Because they had three shots and came away with 0 yards, by the way. 0. Just like at the end of the half. I'm identifying for you two different instances in the game at the end of the half and at the end of the fourth quarter where Rodgers wasn't good enough. And I'm Stephen A. talks about that. He's a bad man. Everyone knows that he loves Rodgers. I'm a huge Rodgers fan. But I got to tell you how I see it. Meantime, if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl against Patrick Mahomes, if Tom Brady at the age of 43 on a new team in a COVID year where he couldn't even practice with his teammates and really get, if Tom Brady goes on the road to beat Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes on stacked teams, well, actually, he's at home for the first time in Super Bowl history against Mahomes, but on the road against Brees and Rodgers, those are contemporaries, peers, the guys pushing him to see who's really the best. If he also beats the next generation of best in Mahomes? Thing about Mahomes is, I'll be surprised if Brady does it. Because Mahomes has had the best start to his career, maybe in the history of American team sports. He's a 3-year starter. This should be the third consecutive Super Bowl he's playing in, and I believe he should be going for a three-peat right now. Don't forget, Brady threw the interception at the end of the AFC Championship game 3 AFC Championship games ago to end the game. Pre-snap penalty gave him the ball back. Mahomes never got to touch the ball in overtime. That's why they lost. If Mahomes touches the ball, they win. If not for the pre-snap penalty, which did not affect the play, they go to the Super Bowl where I believe the Chiefs beat the Rams. I think that's his first Super Bowl. But at any rate, he got there and threw 50 touchdowns to 12 interceptions on the way there to win league MVP. The next season, last year, he improved his touchdown to interception ratio and won Super Bowl MVP by calling his own number, dropping 15 steps, and throwing a 60-yard bomb with the Super Bowl on the line. And now this year, he's once again improved his touchdown interception ratio and his quarterback record. He was 14-1 this year. You know what Patrick Mahomes is over his last 26 games? Patrick Mahomes over his last 26 games is 25-1 in the NFL. The one loss to a Raiders team, a divisional rival, constructed to beat his team, and then he promptly beat them in a rematch. 25-1, three consecutive AFC Championship games, second consecutive Super Bowl MVP. Super Bowl MVP gets better every year. Best start to a career ever. And when he's asked about it, LA, let's see if you remember this one. When he's asked about it, he says, job's not over. It's not finished. Obviously, that's a reference to Kobe Bryant, right? He was asked about that. Hey, were you quoting Kobe? And this is what Patrick Mahomes had to say.
Kobe has the one of the best mentalities of all time as far as a competitor going out there and winning championships, not just winning games. And I take a lot from that, going out there every single day and not being satisfied with where you're at. And like I said, the job's not finished. When we went into the season, we weren't talking about going to the Super Bowl. We were talking about winning it again, and we're trying to run it back. And we mean that, and I'm excited for the opportunity to go out there and play against a great football team and try to do that.
Patrick Mahomes, like Tom Brady, had a great start to his career because he's on a great team. And he was excellent to begin with, but he wasn't looked at like, oh, my God, that's the best we've ever seen early in his career. Defense was very strong, Belichick team. And by the way, he just get him within field goal range, and he had one of the all-time great field goal kickers, and they'll win it for you. That was they really did not build that team around the offense until like the second half of Brady's career. That was like very situation, right? Same thing with Montana. Brady and Montana were considered great players who were in great situations. Dan Marino was a guy with eye-popping talent. Got to the Super Bowl very early, but never got back and never won one. Michael Jordan in the NBA. If anyone's paying attention, by his third season, he was the best player of all time. I don't care what anyone says. 37 points a game back then. But, and by the way, 63 at Boston Garden coming off injury in his second season. Larry Bird, who was the acknowledged king of the NBA at that time, looked at Jordan and said, that's the best player ever. That's a guy's god in basketball shorts, right? But Jordan wasn't in a great situation right away. Took him a while to win a championship. Who do you want to point to? Mahomes has that Michael Jordan talent, that, oh my God, did you see that talent? And he's on a great team, so he's winning all the time. I mean, if Brady wins this Super Bowl, that's seven. Is he the greatest athlete who ever lived? Does that put him ahead of Michael Jordan and Babe Ruth and everybody? And if Mahomes beats Brady, because by the way, if Brady beats Mahomes, he'll have beaten him head to head. No matter what Mahomes does, even if Mahomes gets to, like, the eyeball test says Mahomes is better and he winds up winning five Super Bowls, which is unlikely for anyone, they'll say Brady won seven and he beat Mahomes when he's 100 years old head-to-head when Mahomes is in his prime. But if Mahomes wins, oh, my God, should have been three in a row, should have been already a three-peat. But at any rate, it'll be a repeat and another Super Bowl MVP most likely. And that'll be not only clearly the best start to any career in the history of the NFL, but Mahomes will already be on a short list of the GOAT conversation. Like, he'll be a significant part of the way on the way to beating Brady. Brady-Rodgers was a huge legacy game with enormous implications. Same thing with Brady and Mahomes. 888-SAY-ESPN. Was it LaFleur's fault more, or was it more on Aaron Rodgers? What does the Brady win mean? Is it over with him and Belichick? Has Brady proven his point? Or does Belichick have some Does Belichick have something to say about that going forward? And what about Mahomes? What's on the line for him? If he beats Brady, is that the greatest start? Is he on his way to being the GOAT? Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. And meantime, New York, is less Harden more for the Nets?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I'm not taking the ball out of the MVP's hand to give it to the GOAT to beat me. Here, MVP, I know you're going to try and help me win, but let me take this ball out of your hand and hand it to the GOAT so he can help us lose, as was discussed on Bart and Hahn earlier today here on ESPN Radio. But does that mean that LaFleur blew it? You hear what LaFleur said? Listen carefully. LaFleur said, three downs, no yards. Aaron Rodgers had daylight between, nothing but daylight between him and the end zone, and he looked for his receiver, didn't use his legs. Worst case, fourth and one, and then they go for it. But I think actually he scores. They score the touchdown right there. Was it really LaFleur's fault, or is that on Aaron Rodgers? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Is less of James Harden better for the Brooklyn Nets? In Saturday's win, he had 12 points, shot 2 from 8 from the floor. By the way, 0 for 5 from 3. Fewest attempts he's taken in 5 years, almost, since December 2016. Points and attempts, both the fewest since 2011-2012, his last season in Oklahoma City. Remember, he was a sixth man playing alongside KD. It's not really a change of role at all, says Harden. I mean, I feel good. It feels good not to have to score so much to give ourselves a chance to win the game and go out there, just be a playmaker, shoot my shot when it's available and get guys involved and still have a chance to win the game. So that's a change. I have always believed this about James Harden. My beef with James Harden is this. By the way, his defense is underrated at this point, at least until this season. Last couple of years, he's gotten to be, I'd say, an above-average defender altogether. Post-defense is good. On-the-ball defense, not as good. When you add it all up, a perimeter defense, not as good. But when you add it all up, he's an above-average defender, I would say, overall. His impact on the defensive side. Not much, but like from a zero on defense to a guy who plays defense. My beef is not with he's a selfish player. He shoots too much. He dribbles too much. Not my beef with James Harden is he doesn't come through when you need him most, period. That's it. And he's getting better at that too. But I believe him when he says, I can go out there and just be playmaker. It feels good not to have to score so much. James Harden, I think, is a team player. He'll do what the team needs him to do. That doesn't mean he always gets along with his teammates, where his game is perfectly adapted to play against, you know, next to everyone, or he doesn't want a lot of shots. But I do believe he's basically a team-oriented player, based on what I've seen in his career. And he and Kevin Durant, look, before Kyrie got there, they were playing very well together. By the way, remember when I said they're going to make a move? They got to make a move for a defensive rebounder, like someone to fill a Allen shoes? I'm starting to hear some things. I'm hearing things. Things I'm hearing. They're going to make a move for one of the guys in Cleveland? How would that even work? Could they afford Kevin Love somehow? Could they do that? What would they even have to trade for him? The year 3032's first round pick? I mean, they've given away every pick for the next millennium. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN. So much football to talk about today. How you like your boy Patrick Mahomes talking about the job's not finished and then talking about Kobe and the Mamba mentality. You like that, L.A.? Oh, Daniel from West Virginia, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How are you guys doing?
Go ahead, Daniel.
I was just going to say that I thought that the game was in Aaron Rodgers' hands in a lot of situations, and because of the pressure he was getting from the Bucs pass rush, that Matt LaFleur took it out of his hands because he didn't think that he was capable anymore. He was throwing scared and afraid to run.
I agree. Like, I don't know if – I'm not going to get into his mind. Was he scared? Was he this? I know that off of the three Brady turnovers, they didn't do anything. They need to get points off those turnovers. Aaron Rodgers, Brady's handing you the ball. What are you going to do? So for all the talk about, look, if you're the coach, why would you take the ball out of Rodgers' hands to help you win and hand it to Brady to help him beat you? Brady handed the ball to Rodgers three times. Rodgers didn't want to do anything with it. And listen to LaFleur. Raj, I want to play that LaFleur sound again before I take another call real quick. Listen carefully to what LaFleur is saying here.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards.
That's enough. All right, that's enough right there. Because, by the way, they did stop the Bucs. Like, they did get a stop. They got let me back up. The reason they needed a two-point conversion in addition to scoring a touchdown was because at the end of the first half, with three shots in the red zone and Davante Adams open, Aaron Rodgers missed him three times. Some of that's on Davante Adams. Nevertheless, three and out. So they had, well, three and field goal. And that 4 points they left on the field goal instead of touchdown, meant that when they scored a touchdown, they needed to go for the two-point conversion, which they didn't convert. That's another point they lost, because instead of seven, you get six. Instead of seven, you get four. Sorry, you get three. So by my math, seven minus three is four. Seven minus one is six. Sorry. Seven minus six is one. Four plus one is five. And that's the number of points by which they lost. Rodgers, at the end of the first half, blew it. Now, at the end of the game, listen closely to what LaFleur said. Because I spent so much time talking, we're going to play it again. Play it again.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards.
That's the thing. Three shots, no yards, just like at the end of the first half. And this time, Aaron Rodgers had daylight. Nothing but field between him and the end zone. And Rodgers can move from the 8-yard line. Rodgers scores a touchdown there. I'm going to go ahead and say it. If he runs, but let's say for the sake of argument, they stop him at the one. Someone makes a play, stop him at the one. LaFleur goes for it, fourth and one. I'll tell you something else. As stupid as that decision, as cowardly as LaFleur's decision was at the end of the game, he's not wrong. They did stop the Bucs. They did. Third down, they stopped the Bucs. They got a ticky-tack call down the field on a PI that probably shouldn't be called. Like, I don't know if that was a catchable ball even. But beyond that, Tristan Wirfs got beaten. The right tackle gets beaten by the defensive end. Because he's beaten, he hooks him with his arm and rides him the whole play. That is holding. If you're going to call the ticky-tack call down the field, call the holding call. But they didn't get it. So I'm not excusing LaFleur. I'm just saying LaFleur's reasoning was not good. But he tipped you off when he said three plays, 0 yards. Mitch in New Jersey, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, how you doing? Good show. Few things on Rodgers and one on Brady. I got to put Dan Marino ahead of Rodgers. If he had a chance to be in the five championships, he would have been to the Super Bowl at least 3-4 times. And you got to put Peyton Manning ahead of there. I mean, rightfully so, he threw the coach underneath the bus there, but he should have run that play in. And Brady, if he loses, which I think he will to this guy, he reminds me of a young John Elway. And he's
Mahomes,
win more
John Elway on his best day is not half as good as Mahomes is on his worst, and John Elway was great. John Elway was great. He ain't in Mahomes. Mahomes is different. Much better thrower of the football than Elway. More powerful arm, more accurate, better decision maker, processes information more quickly, and can run the ball. You know, Elway was great. I loved Elway. Mahomes is better than Elway, period. There's no point in talking about it. And Raj, please clip Mitch from New Jersey saying he threw the coach under the bus there. A lot of people want to talk about this. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier to help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. No time to talk Yankees big trade today. Tell you what, they're taking some, they're getting some high end pitching coming off Tommy John surgery. But if Severino comes back and Tylan comes back, they got a nice staff. A lot of risk, but a lot of reward. Is this the last we've seen of Aaron Rodgers in a Packer uniform? No doubt. Next,
the Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
Hi, Max. You spoke about this a little bit earlier, but hey, Brady proved it was he, not Belichick's system.
No doubt. He proved it.
No doubt.
He proved it. I mean, the bottom line is, even though Brady, like LeBron, or I'd say Floyd Mayweather too, like LeBron is a great assessor, analyst, estimator of talent. And so he knows what positions to put himself in. Same thing with Floyd, right? He knew who to fight and when. Same thing with Brady. He knew what he needed and where to go. And sure, that helps him. But that's part of it. That is part of it. You know, it's like branding with a movie star. Do you really know that back in the day you loved watching Schwarzenegger? Or did you know that because of the projects he chose, you're like, damn, I know if Schwarzenegger's in a movie, I'm going to like it. Right? You know if Brady's on a team, they're going to be good. that's true. And yet, he absolutely proved that he's in the Super Bowl year one, no Belichick.
All right. Hey, we've been hearing a lot of whispers about this, but Aaron Rodgers should consider playing elsewhere in 2021.
No doubt he should consider it. He should consider it. But I think ultimately he shouldn't do it. With Matt LaFleur, he won 13 games and a playoff game against Seattle before he even knew what he was doing. And we were like, wait, he looks like a game manager. Is he still in his prime? This year, he will have won the MVP and deserved it with LaFleur and won two playoff games. So they're heading in the right direction. In fact, they drafted his successor. Yes, but now that they did that, just like they drafted him when Favre was still great, they have his successor. Now they don't have to do that anymore. Now they can focus their attention on getting him more of what he needs, and they're moving in the right direction. So I would say, yeah, but if he wants to go to New England to see what he could do with Belichick, or to L.A. to see what he could do with Goff, or if he really wants to stick it to him, to Chicago, Stephen A. suggested that on the air today. It'd be interesting, but if I were him, I would stay.
All right. Hey, you saw it this weekend. It was close for a hot second. Josh Allen and the Bills are close to getting past the Chiefs in the AFC.
It's no doubt or nah, son. Is there an is you crazy option? Have you lost your mind? Nah, son.
Oh.
Josh Allen is excellent. It's no knock against Josh Allen. Patrick Mahomes is playing in a different dimension. He is Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre had a baby. And his name is Patrick Mahomes. He's got all the electricity in his arm of Brett Favre and all the having fun out there, all shucks, drawing up plays in the dirt that his teammates love and all that stuff. And gunslinger stuff that makes it fun and exciting for everyone. And he's fearless without any of the Brett Favre's turnovers, with the better decision-making of Aaron Rodgers and the better precision of Aaron Rodgers. And he's got better wheels than both of them, and he's bigger and stronger. Josh Allen's great. He ain't Patrick Mahomes today, and he ain't going to be Patrick Mahomes tomorrow or anytime soon or anytime, right, period. And he could still make the Hall of Fame.
All right, check it out. So we're going to get into some of this a little bit later, but Conor McGregor should retire for good this time.
Nah, son. No, I'm not going to say that. McGregor, I'm going to get into it a little more, but McGregor is right. He has not been active. The question is, does he still need it or does he just want it? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.